Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Call to action. John Lopez to Cal McNair. J-Lo wants Cal McNair to do something that he's been asking for a couple weeks now since King Bill went away. He wants Jack and Bill out of the building completely. J-Lo has the column at sportsradio610.com. Jack Easterby, the current interim GM for the Houston Texans. J-Lo, what do you want Cal to do?
All right, let's use common sense. I want Cal, not necessarily, I'm not calling for him to oust Jack Easterby, because you need Jack Easterby right now. You need Jack Easterby. You need some sort of conduit from, you know, the Bill O'Brien era to the next general manager era. As John McClain said, he's going to be on the committee, which makes me a little bit uneasy to get to the committee to hire the new general manager. I'll get to that part in a second. But here's what I do want Cal McNair to do. I want him to think about common sense here. Logic. And let me illustrate it. Bill O'Brien destroyed this roster. Destroyed it. I mean, you can argue it all you want, but you'd be wrong. The record says you're wrong. The fact that he got fired says you're wrong. The production on the field says you're wrong. Bill O'Brien made the worst trade possibly in the history of the NFL. There's one. He made David Johnson the featured running back and a key part of that trade. He traded away 2 years' worth of first and second round draft picks, albeit for a left tackle, but still, that's a lot of draft picks. He made decisions that left the Houston Texans with $11 million in dead cap this year. Players that aren't even on the roster, they're paying $11 million to this year. He made the future of the Texans cap a bleep show. That it's going to be very hard to overcome. I'm not saying it can't be overcome, but it's going to make it very hard to overcome. He overpaid, even if you think Randall Cobb is onto something right now, he overpaid players like Eric Murray and Randall Cobb, and you can even argue Brandon Cooks. He destroyed this roster, Bill O'Brien. And here's the thing, and I wrote about it on sportsradio610.com. I would encourage you to look at it. It's a decent column. I think Landry would agree. It's a decent column. He didn't do it alone. Bill O'Brien did not do to this team what has happened alone. He was lockstep, arm in arm, bouncing every decision, making every decision off of Jack Easterby. You got to be careful now. And one thing that I haven't mentioned, you know, we're going to hear from Albert Breer and others about Jack Easterby. But one thing that I haven't...
National media types are starting to make note of this.
Yes. He's really, really good, Jack Easterby is. Jack Easterby is.
At what?
At cozying up to power because he wants more power. He did it in South Carolina, where he started as a character coach. He did it in Kansas City, where he came in as kind of...
his rise.
Kind of the same thing. When they had, you know, tragic things happening in there, and he did a good job. Everybody that talks about Jack Easterby says the exact same thing. Good dude, inspirational, energetic, good to be around. And then a lot of people who know him very well, they pause and they say, yeah, but he's really aggressively ambitious. Which, I mean, that's not a non-starter if you're Cal McNair, but it is something to keep an eye on. It's questions that need to be asked. If he and Bill O'Brien did all this together, why would you want him around in the future?
I think it's a conflict of interest. And let me explain myself. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I think it's a conflict of interest to portray yourself as a guy who's coming and evaluating the organization and trying to figure out what's best for the team and what's best for the organization, and you're evaluating the cap guy and you're evaluating the GM and you're evaluating all these guys, and that's what you're portraying yourself as. I'm looking out for the best interest of the team and the organization. And then at the same time, in the back of your mind, you're also looking out for yourself and you want more power.
Right.
So you come here, Brian Gain's gone, and everybody seems to think logically that he had a hand in that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Olsen's gone. You hear Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien talking about how he's doing stuff for the cap. And you start to wonder, just like Bill O'Brien, a lot of times when he thought was doing stuff for the best interests of the team, and he was really just doing it to satisfy his own hot-headedness, for lack of a better word. Jack Easterby, for a guy who's supposed to evaluate an organization, it sure does seem like there's a conflict of interest because all these guys that go away, you take their job and you don't do much better than them. You're not Bill O'Brien with Brian Gain as his right-hand man, there was a plan there. There was a process. Bill O'Brien
there
with Jack Easterby as his right-hand man, it was a complete dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. You look at the moves they made, they've been pathetic. And that's why this defense is so bad, and that's why this team is currently sitting at 1-5. Jack Easterby as a cap guy, they got rid of one of the best guys in the cap and Chris Olsen because Easterby had an internship at Jacksonville, and it was an internship as a salary cap guy. And some of the structures of these contracts, the Whitney Merciless deal, the Randall Cobb deal, the Eric Murray deal, some of the structures are terrible. So to me, it just seems like a conflict of interest when you're portraying yourself as somebody that's going to come help the organization. But in the back of your mind, and according to guys like Albert Breer and Ryan Russillo and other guys, you really crave power just as much as you do make an organization
better.
And
not just crave power, but you're going to hear there's a lot of skepticism about him. Some people say they just flat out don't trust Jack Easterby. There are red flags. Let's simplify this. Jack Easterby's a really good dude that inspires a lot of people and a lot of people like, but there are red flags. The power thing, the strategic cozying up to people who can help his career, the questions in New England, which, by the way, they don't like him in New England at all. And that starts with Bill Belichick all the way down. They don't trust him. All those things are just red flags. And I'm not telling Cal McNair what to do, but I am saying you got to ask some questions and you got to make sure that you got your right answers when it comes to Jack Easterby. And to your point, is he going to go into that meeting, let's say, with whatever the committee is for a general manager, and guys are going to be like, wow, I can't believe, you know, they brought in David Johnson. Is he going to agree? I mean, what's his position going to be? Because he made that move.
He's on the record. He's on the record supporting the move. So there is that. Here was, as national media types begin to get, you know, or pay close attention to Jack Easterby, here was Ryan Russillo and Albert Breer talking about Easterby's rise to power and the lack of trust he has around the NFL.
There are a lot of people that don't trust him, but clearly he has the ear of the owner. He's got a close relationship still with a lot of people in New England. I'll give you this too, Ryan. He's also got a very close relationship with Dabo Swinney from his time in the Carolinas. So it's just, it's interesting to see kind of where this goes, because he's not a football guy per se, but he's had designs on becoming a top football executive for a long time.
I mean, what does that even mean? What does he even really do? What's his job description? We know his title, and we know he's going to be interim general manager until we get a new one here. But what is his job description? Because we've heard salary cap. We've heard he's in charge of all the COVID responses
serving.
And
I'm
protocol.
In charge of serving.
We've heard personnel. We've heard, I mean, everything. What exactly, okay, what do you do? And what is your area of flat-out expertise where I can sick Jack Easterby on this issue and know that he's got it. He's got the experience. He's got the connections. He's got it, you know, he's got it wired, so to speak. You know? What is his strength?
Well, I thought his strength was working with guys who are troubled in the organization.
I would agree with
Josh Gordon with the Patriots. He had a big hand in that. Michael Floyd, that type of stuff. I thought that
and
was
the
his
Chiefs
strength.
Thing.
Yeah, the Belcher. And the Aaron Hernandez. I think like tragedy and all that type of stuff is
there. And I agree on that. So why is he general manager? And again, Cal, I'm not. I know Cal listens to the show a lot. I'm not telling you axe this guy, although some textures are. What I am telling you is you better. I mean, these are questions.
You got to be careful.
You got to be careful, man.
You got to be real careful here.
Because he's used people like Cal McNair before to help himself. Flat out.
Yeah, and
Scott
Pioli,
Bill Belichick.
And you have the resume stuff where Florio's talked about. Yeah. He said he was like assistants to the assistant
personnel
of football
director
operations
or something.
And he was an intern. He was a flat-out intern in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And they changed it. They changed it on the bio is what Florio said.
Yeah.
And then he was in Kansas City 2 days a week. And I'm sorry. Bill Belichick was not sitting there leaning on Jack Easterby to make moves and make trades.
I'd be interested to know, how did he get into that?
I talked to someone who covers the New England, and they were like, he was basically like a chaplain-like character guy that just, they kept him around, but it wasn't like he was like, hey, let's make these moves. And he comes here, and this is where he's at.
Yeah.
Here's more, and this is another angle that I think is interesting from Albert Breer. And the reason Albert Breer's opinion matters so much on this is because when we didn't know who the hell Jack Easterby was, Albert Breer was always the guy who would tell us who Jack Easterby was. And he's also very close to Bill O'Brien. So keep that in mind. But this is Albert Breer, who has been all over Jack Easterby before most people even knew who he was, talking about another angle as to why Jack Easterby is able to maybe answer your – this might answer your question.
Yeah.
Able to be good at what we know he's good at, being a chaplain and character type guy, but all of a sudden has a GM title, at least on an interim basis.
And I'm not trying to be dismissive of Easterby, but if I'm a Texas fan, I'm scared. I'm like, what is going on here?
In New England, like when players or coaches, when they were going through tough situations personally, like Jack was there for them. And that's why he's able to kind of build trust with people, because he was able to do that. The religious angle, I don't think is insignificant here. And so in that way, it makes sense that Easterby was able to sidle up to Cal McNair, right? Like if you look at that, like, and you see that was sort of the way that Rick Smith had such a strong relationship with the McNairs. And so that part of it, I think, is just interesting. And, you know, like if you consider how strong the bond could be when it's based on that, I do think that it's fairly easy to see how it happened.
And, you know, the thing is, we've been around him minimally. It's easy to see where you can be wowed by Jack Easterby. I mean, he is an impressive cat. He really is. And he can wow you. What I'm saying is, don't be swayed by one thing that he can do to impress you and think that he can do the job that needs to be done. A lot of people, because, and you know, that whole thing.
He has a body of work at this point.
No, that's
the other thing. Like, you've given him a chance, and he's been about as bad as you can be.
It's been a total failure.
Yeah,
it's been a total failure.
You can correlate like the worst Bill O'Brien years were arguably when Easterby got here.
Absolutely,
every move
they were making all the decisions together. And oh, by the way, Jack Easterby had a lot with Brian Kane being axed, allegedly. but no, man, and that's a good point. It's not just like, do you trust him? Do you know what he does? He actually has a body of work in the last year that was an abject failure.
100%.
Yeah.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Go to sportsradio610.com for the latest classic piece by John Lopez.
Now you're kissing up to me.
The two most dramatic off seasons will collide on Sunday. They're both in different positions, but it was a fun offseason nonetheless. We'll relive it next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Hope Romeo makes it to the field Sunday. He pissed off the wrong guy by going for two. Not anyone that turns on a mic here, but a guy who's allegedly killed a couple people. Here's O.J. Simpson talking about Romeo Crennel deciding to go for two instead of going up eight.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. A few takes from this weekend. First of all, if you can go up by 8 points with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, you kick the PAT. I don't care what these announcers agree with. That's BS.
There you go. BS.
BS.
According to O.J. Simpson. I think yesterday it was probably like, 98%, would you say? Just based on texts, calls, people you talk to. I'd say 98% were okay with Romeo's decision.
Yeah, 90. There were a few that were.
And those people are the ones, the worst people to argue with, because.
And I have to give credit to Landry.
Oh, he didn't like it? Oh, I didn't hear that.
He ain't like it.
I was listening to some music or something. I don't like when people say that something's 50-50. I don't know how you can say, I don't know how you can say that a two-point conversion is 50-50. What is that based on?
Well,
so you're just taking every team. You're just taking every team and you're saying it's 50-50. Okay, some teams have good offensive lines. Some teams have bad offensive lines. Some teams have good quarterbacks. Some teams have bad quarterbacks. Some teams are facing good defenses. Some teams are facing crappy defenses.
Yeah.
Some teams, you get what I'm saying. I don't know how you can say it's 50-50.
Well, the reason that I would put it like that is just on the analytics. A faceless, nameless team, just in general. I think, as I mentioned yesterday, it's like between 46 and 48%. In general, according to analytics that I've seen, that two-point conversions are successful. But you're right. Doesn't take into account Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or Baker Mayfield, you know, any level of quarterback or the momentum of a given game. And I think that was the most important thing in this case. The momentum of this game was, you know, you can argue all you want. Well, they had stopped the Titans a couple of times before that. Oh, really? I mean, they were rolling. They had already had 480 yards of offense at that point, or 60 or whatever it was. So not really. So those are the things that you have to take into account. And Romeo did, and we both agreed with it.
Look, if one play can win you a game from 2 yards out, then you got to go for it with this squad.
Yeah.
With the way this defense is
built. And there's that factor, too.
That's what you got to do. Yeah. With this squad, that's what you got to do. That's where it's going to go. And it didn't happen. It's unfortunate. That it didn't because it wasted yet another good Deshaun Watson effort. 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions, but that's where we are right now. Bad football teams find ways to lose games. The Texans are a bad football team right now, and they lost that game. They're going to be facing a team that many, when we look at the schedule, when we looked at the Texans' schedule, the first two quarters of the season will go.
Mm-hmm.
We knew Baltimore was good. We knew Kansas City was good. We assumed that Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger was going to be very good. I think a lot of people were wondering, are the Green Bay Packers going to be that good of a team? Aaron Rodgers seemed frustrated with the decision to trade up and draft Jordan Love. They didn't really add any weapons as far as receivers. But Aaron Rodgers, before last week when they lost to Tampa Bay, or before a couple days ago, he was playing some of the best football of his career. And this is one of those games where it never looked easy, but I think it looks even more difficult for the Texans than it did before the season started, if that makes sense.
It does. It did even going before last week, just because they were playing so well and he was on such a roll. But then they got slapped around. And now he's – you know how he is with the week of games, and relax. I mean, he's got that sort of low-key intensity going on that he's going to bring it. He's going to bring it
he
on.
He definitely
Sunday.
Puffs yeah. the lettuce.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But – if you just look at what LaFleur has done, and you can't really say whether or not it was smart to draft Jordan Love because the guy's not going to get on the field anytime soon. But it does seem like he's at least surrounded Aaron Rodgers with a team to where he can still get the job done. I think that was the biggest controversy of the Jordan Love thing was
the receivers.
You don't have enough receivers and so on and so forth. But they focused last year on fixing the defense, and it appears they've done that. So far, so good with them there. So I guess you could say they look pretty smart based on their offseason, just because of where they're at, where they're playing, how Aaron Rodgers is playing. And who knows, maybe drafting Jordan Love lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers' butt to where it's almost unfair to say because he's always been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But maybe that got Aaron Rodgers fired up. But on the other side of things, the Texans, the other, I think, most polarizing offseason of 2020, the moves that the Texans have made heading into this couldn't look worse,
no.
Which is why the guy who made those decisions is sitting at home drinking Coors Light watching the game.
Yeah, and on Aaron Rodgers, I think it definitely lit a fire under him. You could tell even from just his comments after that, he wanted a receiver, and it definitely lit a fire. But I think with where the Packers are right now, Aaron Rodgers is just getting it done no matter what. I mean, he's carrying that team. He definitely could still use a receiver, definitely could still use some help. Now, Aaron Jones has been good, and he got shut down this last week as well.
From UTEP.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones. Going to be interesting to see what Aaron Jones handles. Also going to – got a good backup running back as well in Jamal Williams, who's one of the better backs. Let's just relive the two biggest – the two most polarizing moves from these dramatic offseasons, starting with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. When it became official, this was the OG.
Are these all mock accounts? This is the trade that John McClain is reporting now. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second round pick this year and a fourth round pick next year. I'm sorry, man. This is just dumb. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second this year and a fourth next year. That's the trade. Somebody please tell me how you got better. That's the deal. I've seen a lot of weird stuff in this town over the last 31 years. I've seen a lot of general managers, stumble all over themselves. Hell, I've seen a general manager moon a wedding party at a hotel. And I haven't seen anybody show their ass like this.
Who showed their ass?
That was the Oilers general manager. Help me out, texters. It was, they were on a road trip in Buffalo, I believe. Go back to Buffalo. And he was drunk and was on a balcony, and there was some wedding party.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He mooned him.
Just having some fun.
The general manager of NFL team.
Back in that day, that was okay. These days, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
Here is Aaron Rodgers. So you had the new Hopkins trade, not looking so good. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the Good Morning Football podcast talking about what he was doing.
Yeah, I was watching the draft and thinking about which receiver might be there at that time. And there was a run on him there in the early 20s. And a kid from LSU who I loved watching went, I think, to Minnesota in the early 20s. I knew the kid from Clemson was still there, and I enjoyed watching him as well. I didn't know maybe as much about him. And the kid from Arizona State as well, I think they liked him. When they traded up, perked up a little bit. And then I got a text because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent. He said he just texted quarterback. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. Once I got that text, okay. I went to the pantry. I poured myself, about four fingers. Like I said, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But as much as people want to make parallels to certain things, you know, in 2004, the Packers were 10-6. And lost in the first round of the playoffs. We were 13-3, you know, one game from the Super Bowl, won a playoff game at home, obviously won our division. A little different circumstance, not to mention that Brett had talked about retiring for a few years before that.
Like
so
every year.
You know, I've talked about playing in my 40s. So, when people start talking about the parallels to this and that, well, I fell to 24. They traded up and drafted Jordan.
Wasn't happy. Four wasn't fingers happy. Of whiskey.
Four fingers of whiskey. Later. Four fingers of whiskey. Lad Herzig, Houston Oilers general manager, went down in sweatpants and a T-shirt at a Buffalo Hotel wedding reception. So I was right on that.
Nice.
Mooned the crowd from the balcony.
I respect it, Lad.
Lad came down to complain about the noise and reportedly wound up slugging the bride's brother.
All right, that's a little worse. You left out a little part of the story. So he mooned him, not like just joking around. He mooned him out of anger.
He was just mad.
That was like a flip-off?
Yeah, he was mad.
A moon's supposed to be like more lighthearted, not like a flip-off. Come on, Lad. You can go slug the bride's brother. What the hell's wrong with you? 713-572-4610. We've had some in-the-loop legends via lab work. Travis Kelce, Bradley Roby, Kevin Johnson, .. whole lot of suck. But I think we're about to crown the biggest legend in the history of lab work. And he's a guy from the Tampa Bay Rays who just eliminated the Houston Astros. Get ready for some entertaining lab work.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's some In the Loop legends courtesy of lab work. You have Bradley Roby with Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm. Making plays, bro.
You have Travis Kelce with multiple personalities.
Ooh, man,
you even have John Lopez talking about Kevin Johnson. A whole lot of suck.
Really?
..
A whole lot of suck.
But I've never been more excited for this. Blake Snell. who pitched against the Astros on Friday in Game 5, is the interesting guy that I've ever done lab work on. And furthermore, I probably spent way more time than I should have on this on Saturday morning.
We appreciate it.
But I feel like for our audience and for what we do, this was very necessary. So I was looking at Blake Snell after Cash decided to pull him in Game 5 a little bit too early.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching him at the podium, and you could just tell he was a little bit outspoken. So I just decided, you know what, I'm going to dig in and figure out where I can find some more entertaining stuff from Blake Snell. So I went to his website, snellzilla.com.
Okay.
And this is the second paragraph from his about the website thing. See, outside of baseball, video games and streaming is my passion. And it's not just because I like video games. Okay, love video games. But a big reason is you, the fans. It's my way to communicate with my fans, both from baseball and from the gaming world. So a light bulb went off.
Yeah.
Twitch channel. He has a Twitch channel where he basically plays video games. And
you can watch.
He has a team. He sells merchandise, Snell Gaming. Hmm. So he's that serious about it. And you can hear rants and you can watch him play video games.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what?
You're going to watch him play
video games. I'm going to watch a 2-hour and 15-minute video of Blake Snell playing video games. And I'm either going to waste a lot of time or I'm going to produce some more in the loop gold. Just so you know, just a little background.
Mm-hmm.
The original manner in which we were introduced to Blake Snell was on that Twitch channel.
Yeah.
That was between him playing video games. This was Blake Snell, the offseason, talking about the coronavirus and the predicament of whether or not to play.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. Like, I ain't making And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? The damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. The risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season. Less pay. Like, bro, it's... Yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Okay.
Atta baby.
So that was where that came from. So I decided I was gonna watch him play a game. It looks like some sort of shooting game, army game or whatever.
You remember what it's called?
And he's playing with his buddy Josh. And I thought to myself, there's no way he brings that kind of heat when he's playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
Or does he? Because he says he's passionate about it. He's got a little flavor to him. Doesn't quite sound like I thought he would sound like, if we're being honest.
He doesn't look like he sounds.
If I'm being honest,
Here's
a little taste of some lab work. Here's Blake Snell. He's playing with his buddy Josh. They're playing an army game. And Blake starts out pretty hot in the video game, but you can tell he doesn't necessarily like his teammate.
Hey, Valencia, appreciate the 100 biddies. Mala mia. I don't know what the f*** you doing trying to land on us. Stupid ass. Bad shots, too. You got Ghost? I swear you got
it. I grabbed Overkill.
Josh, if you ever grab Overkill with me again, I'm going to lose it. You're not killing anyone, so get Ghost. Waveless, what's good, bro? Sorry for yelling in the mic. Josh raises my blood pressure quite a bit with his dumb gameplay.
All right, so you can tell he's not going to be a very good teammate.
He doesn't like Josh.
So as soon as I saw,
but you can tell they're close.
Dude, as soon as I saw the first 4 minutes of this, I said, dude, I got to invest the next 2 hours of my life watching him play this video game. I have to, because if that's the way it starts, it's only going to get intense. So Blake and Josh as a team, they decide they're going to go on the attack, and they're going to try to get some coins. Here's some more Blake Snell lab work.
Let's go, Josh. Move. This man said he got overkill. This motherfucker ain't hit a target. What you got overkill for? One kill? That's what you got your overkill for? To kill one person?
I killed dude. Hey, they're grabbing it.
It's a fight over here. It's a little dog fight. You're just going to take my loot, bro. Where'd they go? Oh, my God. Deuce, you crazy mother sucker. Deuce, thank you for the 25 gifted, bro. Always showing love. I appreciate that, man. Are you going to kneel during the anthem? I have not thought about that, Moneyball. I have not thought about it.
He's getting questions as he's playing.
I'm nowhere near being there, Josh.
So they're talking. They're going back and forth.
And like, fans
he interacts with his fans.
Yeah.
It is cool. He does interact with his fans, but it's very entertaining to watch. But you can tell him and Josh, this is going to end bad, right?
No, it's ugly.
It's going to end bad.
Yeah.
So they go on the attack. Blake and Josh. I guess they get some money. I guess they get like a super gun.
Yeah.
And there's like little houses in this video game where you trap your opponents. And Blake and Josh have the opponents trapped.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they got them where they want them. But then all of a sudden stuff hits the fan and Blake dies.
Oh, no.
And you know where this is going. With how he's already treated Josh, you know he's not going to take the blame. So they feel like they got him where they want him. But then Blake dies and poor Josh.
They got to come out. These guys are idiots.
They're literally trapped.
I'm going to go to Granny. Josh, other side. Go other side, Josh. Josh, I need you to kill him.
Where is he?
Can you do something, bro? Did you kill a guy, Josh?
Yeah, I killed the second.
Well, then why would you make me waste my self-revive? Good God. You know, usually say you kill a guy, that'd be like down some. You got to let me know because I expect you to do absolutely nothing.
Did you kill
no,
the first
dad, just tell
out?
Me when you kill people, Josh. Golly, bro, you don't kill people. That's the difference. I kill people. Stop following me. They know where you're okay, at. Okay. Push, Josh. Push, Josh. Bro, 3,000 damage. Josh, come lay on me, revive me. Just lay on me, revive me. Lay, revive. Josh, I need you to do something. Josh, something. Oh my God, you're so f***ing terrible. I'm dead. I'm as good as dead. Hold on, just wait till I get in the circle. That's the best bet. Yeah, I'm dead. Golly, Josh. Oh my God, bro.
God, he's mad at Josh.
I mean, this is a 26-year-old, like,
dude, he
baller-ass
is so
pitcher, and he is he's like a 14-year-old kid. It's pretty entertaining, to say the least. But do you think he's going to let up on Josh after he's out?
Come on now.
So Josh gets to keep playing. And
even
Blake
though they
Snell,
thought they had these dudes dead to rights.
They thought they had it. Blake Snell. Poor Josh.
By the way, Blake Snell starting game two of the World Series.
Tomorrow.
I
saw the bags under his eyes, and I was like, is this dude a partier? And then I did more research. I'm like, he was probably up till 6 playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's hardcore. Here's Blake continuing to be the worst teammate ever to poor Josh.
You like, you don't watch, like, good players play and learn, Josh? Like, what are you shooting at? That was the easiest double kill I've ever seen. You got aim assist, too. How do you miss that bad? Good job, Josh. Really good job. Y'all wonder why I'm so mad, bro. I can't look. 3,100 damage. He has 1,300 damage. The two kills he just got were the guys I just destroyed. I could have used my self revive there to get back up. You know, that would have been cool. Like, oh my God, bro. I just want good teammates. And they're never on until late at night. Like, I don't get it. Oh my God.
Where'd you die? Can I grab your money?
Can I grab your money? Oh, he is incredibly into this.
He's into it.
Incredible.
But he's also into his fans. We got to give Blake Snell some props.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Blake Snell reading the comments between games. This is, I guess you can comment when guys are playing video games. I guess someone gives big, I don't know what the coins do.
Yeah.
But one of his buddies gave him coins and he's very happy about it. But here's Blake Snell reading the comments between games.
Deuce, thank you for the 25 gifted, man. Fitty, Try, White, DT, Dictator. I was going to take that. Don't worry. I'm just going to say CHIRILLOM exclamation mark at the end of that. Deuce, thank you for getting real freaky naughty. I appreciate it. I'm ready to report for duty. Hey, there you go, bro. Guy. Josh, shut up. Yeah, Jonesy, talk to Josh, especially after that terrible performance. I mean, now you guys know what I got to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Like, you guys think I'm getting mad, but it's like, bro, these motherfuckers don't know how to shoot the damn gun. Kimberly, what's up, girl?
What's up, girl, Kimberly?
Call of Duty Warzone is what a lot of texters are saying that is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's very into it. Mm-hmm. And finally, Blake tries to replace Josh. He's trying to find a new teammate. Here's Blake Snell. Can't believe this guy's a Cy Young Award-winning pitcher. The times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
The times are changing. This is Blake Snell trying to find a new teammate for Josh.
Yeah, you would imagine, like, with his gameplay, he's never played the game before. This motherfucker all the way down there.
Who are we talking about?
You. I'm talking about you. How bad you are. No, it's not a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's cool. Bro, I'm boss from... Oh, boss. Yeah, you definitely need to sub. And you too good, bro. Too good. Bro, I be getting mad at you, boss, because I be looking for you to be online, bro, and you never online. I'm going to take that as disrespect, boss, because you're never online. With Look at this. Y'all want to see what kind of player Boss is? This motherfucker cold, bro. He is cold. 507 KD. This motherfucker go to sleep. Boss real deal, guys.
So I guess Boss is good.
He wants Boss over Josh.
And he's trying to replace Josh. Now, I guess some of his gaming community, they aren't as on top of sports as you would expect.
Yeah.
Which might be a surprise.
Not really. Not really.
Well, I guess he had pitched the day before this.
Mm-hmm.
So he assumes that everybody should know that he's playing baseball. But these are gamers. A lot of gamers don't care about sports. Yeah. They're just focused on the game. And one of his poor fans just simply asks, are you going to play baseball this year? And they get the Josh treatment.
I'm behind on the times. Is Blake pitching this year? I saw. Jeez Louise, man. What's up with all y'all motherfuckers coming in and ask if I'm pitching? Go listen to what I said. Go see what we playing. And then when you put it together, you'd be like, yeah, he playing. That's exactly what he said. It's crazy. It just matched up. It just, the maturation was so crazy. It was so beautiful. I just came together like he already knew what was going to happen. And then it just went together. And it went on the hand like a
what
glove.
What is wrong with
and
him?
And it fit so good. And it fit so, and it got so freaking naughty. Yeah, I mean, good guy, man. Riddle me that. Why are you clowning? Bro, I'm just sick of every time I stream, people are like, are you playing? Someone today said, are you opting out? What the heck kind of crap is that? I'm playing, obviously, man. You not follow my Instagram? You're going to be caught up on everything, and it's going to be
doesn't.
So freaking naughty,
no,
and it's going to be so crazy, and
loopy.
You're going to be saying I need it so bad very shortly.
Okay,
he's
so,
getting loopy
so
on
he's,
the games.
He's hitting it.
He's getting loopy on the games.
Yeah.
By the way, he said mother sucker. For those of you that don't know, he's getting loopy on the games, and people get loopy. That's the problem. He's been playing for 2 hours, but I will give him props for this. He at least appreciates hip hop classics, because after he ordered some food, he got him some pizza or something. He ate.
Mm-hmm.
He sang along to a hip hop classic. I think Figgy, Jims and Juice can kind of appreciate this at least. He's not just on top of that new stuff. He does appreciate an early 2000s classic.
Jesus, bro, we got the same amount of kills. You seem to let me know. Would you let me if I was down? And how could you still have love for me, girl? You seem to let me know. I'm gonna go so crazy.
He's out. He's done. He's maybe been in his game skills have been enhanced a little bit too.
Man, what a terrible friend, dude. What a terrible
I feel bad
friend.
For Josh. I want to start a GoFundMe for Josh, like one of the texters said. Poor Josh. And everybody has that friend that just everybody just piles on and is unrelenting.
Is this a new thing? Like, is this a new thing with 26-year-olds? Because when I think about 26-year-old athlete, and this could be me, this could be a generational gap that comes for everybody. I think of maybe picking up the sticks every once in a while, but this, like, playing video games for 6 hours, yelling at each other, this is the new age, or is Blake Snell unique? Because
it's a new age. It's more popular now.
Like
it's
this?
It's trendy.
Like
yeah.
this, though?
It's trendy.
Man.
Where did he, how can I put this? Where did he pick up his personality? Put it that way.
He's from Seattle.
Yes, I know that. And he's
went to.
I'm guessing around a bunch of black dudes.
He went to baseball at Washington.
Still, that's outside of Seattle.
They got some hoods in there, probably.
I guess.
He played with the Princeton Rays in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? They're in West Virginia.
All right, maybe.
Princeton, West Virginia. I don't know. Interesting cat, though, that Blake Snell, say the very least. Pitching tomorrow. You rooting for the Rays?
I am. Yeah, I'm rooting for the Rays. I think they're a likable team, and it's the Dodgers. You know, we don't want the Dodgers to rub anything in anymore. How about you?
I don't know. I guess the Rays. Dodgers are kind of due, though, right?
They're, well, you would think if they're going to win it, they're going to win it this year.
So that would be two bubble ships for LA teams, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Lakers That's right. and Dodgers. Yeah, so never. Yeah, I definitely don't want that to happen. I don't want yeah. LA to have two championship teams. I'm just kind of rooting for Blake Snell now.
Yeah. So he goes to the clubhouse and just plays video games until the first pitch, right?
No, I bet he doesn't play with anyone on the team because he probably doesn't think they're good enough. Like he's like one of these advanced gamers that. Yeah. He doesn't want to play with anyone that's like just picking up the stick and trying to see what's going on. Like he's one of these guys who's like trying to play the good.
Like boss. Whoever boss is.
Boss.
Now I got to search for
Deuce.
Boss.
Deuce.
Is it Deuce? Deuce? I thought it was boss.
Deuce? I don't know. I think they gave him money or something like
yeah.
that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Blake Snell. Interesting guy. 713-572-4610. Do you think Jeff Luhnow gets another job in baseball?
No, not in baseball. I think he's trying to. Well, there was a report that he tried to buy the Dynamo, right, with Alex Rodriguez, which would have been bizarre. How do you cheat in soccer? Do you kick the can rather than hit the can? See what I did there?
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Yeah, awesome. Couple of the Texans' remaining opponents, they got a lot of drama. Both of them are teams in Ohio. We'll listen in on that. Plus, the Titans, they just beat the Texans, and they might have beat another team twice. We'll tell you who that is.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.